Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Can you get me that red cushion that's empty over there, please? Thank you.
Gopi Jan Bala Bhagiri Badhari. Jaya Gopi Jan Bala Bhagiri Badhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jan Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jan Ranjana. Jamuna Jira Banachari. Jamuna Jira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo, Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Padi Bhajakacharya, Astotara Satashri Shriman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Shri Kaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Shri Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda, Jai Shri Radha Shama Sundar Gopi Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale. Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane. Nivashesa Sunyavadi Pasyacha Desatarane. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So, when I first got this assignment for this class, I thought, oh, Akshaya Tiritya, that'll be so nice. No one's hardly ever heard of that. But of course, now that it's closer to the day and the day itself, I'm sure you've heard many times the different benefits and auspicious things that have happened on this Akshaya Tiritya day. This day, if you notice on your calendar, your devotee calendar, it's there. It's all. Look, a new baby just came to see the Lord for the first time. Haribo! Just see how auspicious that life is. Her first time to the temple today. Hare Krishna. Jai. Sorry, that was a little distraction that I had there. Akshaya Tiritya. It's on our Vaishnava calendar. It's not a casual thing. It's the most auspicious day to give in charity. Now, as a seasoned Hare Krishna, you might think, why is there so much emphasis on giving and the benefit that you get from giving? Because that's a, kind of like an impetus to give, because you get so much benefit for yourself if you give in charity today. And it sounds like a little bit of karmakanda. So anyone who's been hanging around a Hare Krishna temple for a while and listening to philosophy, we are always, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, are always pointing out to do selfless service. That we're not doing service for our benefit, we're doing service for Krishna's benefit. So one might wonder, why is there so much emphasis on this today, particularly? So in the Nectar Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami explains the same fact, the same principle, in regarding to the different auspicious things one can do directly in devotional service. For example, if one wears or accepts a maha garland that's been offered to the deity, then one gets freed from all diseases. If one takes charanamrita, one gets another type of benefit. So there are benefits that happen along with, you know, regularly executing devotional service. But our motivation for executing devotional service shouldn't be the results that I'm going to get. But in the beginning, it's okay if that's one of your motivations. It's okay, because Krishna provides that. He's so kind, he's so merciful, that he's giving ways and means for people to enter into the path of pure, selfless devotional service by different means, because, as you've noticed now, since none of the adults were born yesterday, that when you get a group of people together, or even if they're not together, hardly, although you think you all agree on something, it's only because you haven't discussed it. When you discuss something, you see someone has this understanding, someone has this understanding, someone has another understanding, a different, you know. So Krishna explained, Srila Vyasadeva explains that the Vedas themselves are more merciful than millions of mothers. So you're familiar how merciful your wife is to your children. So, but millions of mothers, in any family, the different ages of the children are there, their different personalities are there. Even in twins, even there can be, you know, identical twins. They have different personalities. So the mother encourages the strong points in all the different personalities and corrects what needs to be corrected in different ways for all the different personalities. Same with the Vedas. So the Vedas are trying to bring people in ultimately to pure devotional service, but people don't usually start at that point. So how are they going to start? Well, let them start by hearing the benefits of giving on auspicious days like today, or other things, not just that, but that's just one example that I wanted to bring out. Because that brings people in, and gradually they will be elevated to higher and higher levels of understanding. So this akshaya, the Sanskrit word akshaya, means everlasting, or the benefit or vows that you do or take at this particular day are everlastingly you're not just giving bags of rice or, you know, a bag of rice today to the deities, but that benefit you get is as if you're giving it every day to the deities forever. It's everlasting benefit. So that kind of motivates people, sometimes motivates people. I'll admit it motivates, you know, myself sometimes. But the real benefit, and there's so many things that are, and then when you actually look into the Tiritiya day, there's a third day of the dark moon, I think it is. Okay, let me see. Lunar day is the third lunar day of the bright half moon. So this is what makes this day especially beneficial, because both the sun and the moon are both in an exalted position today. And so sometimes on auspicious day, there's a particular time of the day that's auspicious, but Akshaya Tiritiya day, the whole day is auspicious. So it's not too late. You can still do something else if you'd like your benefit and the deity's benefit or Krishna's benefit. So, interestingly enough, so many things happened on this day throughout eternal history. In fact, Treta Yuga and all the yugas start on this day, Akshaya Tritiya Day. Vyasa Dev began dictating Mahabharata on this day. That's pretty auspicious, right? Has a different circumstance at around when Vyasa Dev started, when he was contemplating recording the Mahabharata, he thought, I can't record it and compose it at the same time. So he approached Ganeshji, said, will you write down what I dictate, and that will be more efficient or whatever, you know? And Ganesh said, sure, I'll do that, but I have a condition. So do you know what Ganesh's condition was? Anybody remember? Ganesh's condition was, I'll write as long as you don't stop dictating. That's a pretty heavy condition, right? I'll write as long as you don't stop dictating. And so Vyasadev, being a highly elevated divine personality, thought, okay, I'll accept that. I have a condition. And Ganesh said, well, what's your condition? My condition is that you don't write it down unless you fully understand what I say. So that gave him time to think of some things that were hard, philosophical points that would be hard to understand in a second, and so that Ganesh would have to take a minute to think. That would give him an extra minute or two to do whatever he needed to, or to breathe, or whatever. And so on those both conditions, it started today. Mahabharata was recorded. Another thing, Ganges, right? So we're very appreciative of the purifying effects of the Ganges River. So I'm not telling you all the whole backstory of the Ganges, why it had to descend, but in order to purify the 60,000 sons who were burnt to ashes, they said they could only be purified if the Ganges comes down to earth. So in that dynasty, the different personalities began performing austerities to attract the Ganges to come, and it wasn't an easy task. So the first person did austerities for his whole life, and Ganges didn't come. His son then took up the position doing austerities, didn't come. But today it was the day that Bhagirat finally did his austerities and attracted the Ganges. So then the Ganges came from the heavenly, the celestial planets and came down to earth with a few other conditions there, with Lord Shiva there to catch it on his head, etc., etc. But that appearance of the Ganges is today too. And another interesting little factoid about today is that Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, he got his position. He got appointed to be the treasurer of the demigods on today. And another one that you're more popularly probably familiar with is, this is the day, and Mukhi mentioned it also in her announcement, that the sun god gave Draupadi the Akshaya Patra, the pot that helped them get through their 12 years of exile in the forest. So when the Pandavas were exiled for the forest for the 12 years, and then that last year, the 13th year, when they had to be incognito, that's how Amala Bhakta says it, incognito, those big Bhima, big Arjuna, big men, they were... it was a little hard to feed them on roots and fruits and vegetables, you know. They could be fed, but they weren't satisfied, you could put it that way. They weren't full. So Draupadi approached the sun god, and she was granted this Akshaya Patra, that she could cook the food. Whatever food that she cooked, she could distribute it to unlimited numbers of people. And her condition was, until she ate. Once she ate and washed the pot, then the pot was finished for the day, but then the next day it could happen again. So there's another story that you might be familiar with from the Mahabharata, when Duryodhan, who unfortunately exhibited so many different forms of envy towards the Pandavas, even after he had defeated them unfairly in dice and they were in the forest, still he was still thinking of how to still get back at them even more. So he... Agastya? Was it Agastya Muni that he made the plan with? Thank you. Durvasa Muni had come and to Duryodhan one time, and he often travels with a few of his disciples, 60,000, you know, he had a few. And he had come to Duryodhan, and Duryodhan made a huge effort to please him because, what's his name? Durvasa. Durvasa was very easily pleased and also very quickly displeased. He was a partial incarnation of Shiva. So he had he was a powerful person to have as an ally. And if he was displeased, he was also, you pay a high price for that. So after Duryodhan pleased him as best as he could, he was in a jolly mood, you could say. And they spoke, and Duryodhan asked him for a favor. Please go visit my cousins in the forest. And he said, sure, no problem. He said, but I want you to go late in the afternoon, okay? Because Draupadi would serve out her husbands and any sages or any followers that were there. She would serve them out during the day, and then she would in the evening take her meal and wash the pot and be finished. He said, so Duryodhan made that condition. I want you to go in the evening. He didn't say why, but, you know. And so sure enough, one day looked like it was going to be a normal, happy day in the forest. And in the afternoon, Durvasa Muni came by with 60,000 of his followers, and he was saying, oh, we'd love to have prasadam here today. And Maharaj Yudhisthira stood there. Very good. Why don't you go to the river and take your bath, and we'll be ready when you come back. And Draupadi was like, she was left with a hanging how to feed 60,001 people in, you know, 10 minutes in the forest without her akshayapatra, you know, being full. And so she was in totally devastated. But as a devotee of Krishna, what did she do? She turned to Krishna for help in her anxiety. Now, they were in Kamyavan, I believe, at the time. Anyway, they were in the forest at the time. That's a safer way to describe it. And Krishna was all the way in Dwarka. And Draupadi prayed to Krishna with such sincerity, with such intensity, with such anxiety, that Krishna appeared on the scene. It's described, it was Indradumna Maharaj who described it, that he appeared on the scene within 3 seconds. Because she was in so much anxiety, and he had a special relationship with her. And she said, this is the problem, and he's right here. And he said, not to worry, show me the pot. No, but I already washed the pot. No problem, show me the pot. But so Krishna, he was the supreme inspector for cleanliness. So he looked at the pot, and he looked at the little ridge of the pot, and there was a little piece of shock, a little piece of vegetable stuck on the inside lid or the inside rim, which happens a lot, I'll admit, at my house. It happens. And Krishna said, no, there's something here. And so he took that and was immediately, he said, he was thinking, my devotee cooked this and offered it with love, so it's my duty to take it. So he just took that little piece of spinach and he ate it, and he was so satisfied. And because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, everyone felt that satisfaction. He let them all feel satisfied, including the 60,000 sages who were taking their bath very dutifully in the river. And it's a Vedic principle for sages especially that you don't eat anything if you're already full. You can only eat if you're hungry. So they felt like they just had the Sunday feast, which you're probably waiting for, but it'll be soon. And they said, oh no, where's this feeling of fullness and satisfaction come from? We can't go there now because we can't eat. And they all just exited out the side door, you could say. And the Pandavas were saved from, you know, a curse or calamity or some distressful situation. So that happened on this day today too. So, and then there's the story of Sudama Vipra. You might be familiar with it, and I'll give you a brief summary of that story also. Sudama Vipra was a classmate of Krishna when he was in the school of Sandipani Muni. And they were very dear friends. Krishna had many dear friends there. And Sudama Vipra came from Brahminically inclined. He came from a Brahmin family. He was had a very modest income, you could say, if anything at all. In fact, he had hardly any income. And he was very skinny. And his wife was very concerned that he didn't have enough to eat. He said, so she would remind him, why don't you just go to see your friend, Krishna? He's just nearby. He's just near Dwarka. Just go to see him. He said, no, I'm never going to go and ask anything for myself from Krishna. I'm never going to do that, never. And she was concerned as a good wife. A lot of you are good wives. She was concerned for her husband's health, so she kept gently prodding him. You could say poking him, and maybe you could even want to say nagging him. But however it is, she said it more than once. She requested him more than once, more than a few times, to go see Krishna. And finally, Sudama Vipra changed his perspective. He didn't go with the motivation to ask something from Krishna. He just went with the motivation, this is my friend, I just want to see him. So when he changed his perspective on that, then he was willing to go to see Krishna. But he said to his dear wife, he said, but what can I bring him? I have to bring him a gift. And she said, give me a minute or two. I'll go see if I can get something from the neighbors. And so she got 4 palmfuls of chipped rice, which for those of you who might not be familiar with quality of rice, it's not high quality rice. It's the lowest quality of rice, all the broken little grains. Anyway, so she tied that into his cloth and he carried it under his arm all the way to Dwarka. He got in to see Krishna. But then he was very hesitant. He didn't want to give that chip rice to Krishna because, it's like giving some blades of grass to a millionaire. Oh, here, I brought you some blades of dry grass, not even fresh grass. Anyway, so Krishna, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his comments, he says that Krishna kept smiling at Sudama Vipra to encourage him, please give. How long are you going to keep that precious gift that you brought me? Please give it to me. And finally, Sudama Vipra, he still was hesitating. He was too shy. He didn't want to give it, and he was too shy to ask, and he was too shy to speak anything. So Krishna kind of grabbed it from him and put some in his mouth. And then he grabbed another little bunch and put some in his mouth, and he was about to do it again, and Rukmini said, no, my dear Lord, that's enough. That's enough. That's not good for your stomach, but it's also... it also qualifies the giver to have more opulence than he can imagine. And if you eat more, then I'll have to go live with them forever. So please don't eat anymore. So, during the visit, nothing externally changed for Sudama Vipra. Nothing. He didn't receive riches in his hand to take it home with him. He didn't, whatever. But when he went home, he actually couldn't even recognize his town, his place, his house, where his house was. He couldn't even recognize it because it was so opulent. And he barely could recognize his wife, who came out in all opulent clothes, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very interesting because it's very interesting because... Sudama Vipra was given more opulence than he even desired, but it wasn't that he was just given opulence. He was given the pure devotional service also. He was already very advanced devotee, very pure in his service, but he had some tinges of material attachment there. And one of his tinges of attachment, very insignificant but still important for this story, was he was attached to being detached. He was so how subtle are if that was our only problem in life, our only material attachment, that we're attached to being detached, that would be pretty good, right? But our list of attachments is quite overwhelming. But anyway, so Krishna gave him that charity, and he also gave him the taste for pure devotional service. This very story happened on this day today. So interesting, isn't it? So... there's a few other things, but time's going by, so I'm going to, for examples, I'm going to stop there. At first I was thinking of giving the philosophy behind Akshaya Tirita and then giving the examples, but usually what you say at the end is what people take home with them. So I wanted to say the examples first in case it, again, we get attracted. Maybe I'm going to give my donation or my this or that because I want to get back something from Krishna. I want to take advantage of the offer. But that's not the real meaning of Akshaya Tirita. It's not the real benefit. The benefit that we give to Krishna, the offering, our simple, humble, meager little offering that we give to Krishna is for his pleasure. And if done in that mood, then the benefit of that giving mood is outweighs the benefits that we get. So in that story of Krishna, when he was a little toddler, when the fruit vendor came to Mother Yasoda's house and said, if anybody wants to buy any fruits, please come to me. I can give you some fruits. And so Krishna, as a little toddler, took his little toddler hand and got some grains of rice and then kind of waddled out of the house. And of course, a few grains fell out till the point that there was only a few grains left in his hand. But the fruit vendor was so attracted by his divine beauty that even there was only one or two pieces of grains of rice in his hand, she piled him up with fruits, more fruits than he could hold, and didn't even notice that as she was piling the fruits onto little baby, onto, you know, toddler Krishna, her basket was filling up with jewels. Now, for at least 37 or probably 57 years, when I heard that story, I always thought, just think how she got the jewels, how much benefit she got. But actually, the acharyas explain she didn't even notice the jewels, nor did she even care about the jewels in her basket. Because why? Because she was so attracted to Krishna. That was her real gift from Krishna. Her real gift from Krishna was attraction to his form and his service. And the story is meant to show us that material benefits aren't significant. Material benefits aren't significant. And like I said, for 50 years, it just totally went over my head till I finally one time read in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comments that the real benefit was her attraction for Krishna, not the jewels. And that's why she didn't even notice the jewels. And so she would come again to sell fruits in the neighborhood. Why? Because she wanted to get a glimpse of Krishna. That's the real benefit. And that's, if we can try to, again, change our perspective in giving today. Don't hesitate to give here, there, any worthy cause spreading. Don't hesitate, but have that, but change our perspective of why we're giving, not for our personal benefit, but for the pleasure of the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam, okay, in the 22nd chapter, do you remember the title of the 22nd chapter by any chance? Mr. Pran Govinda Prabhu, 22nd chapter. The title, 10th canto. And anyway, that'll come later. But anyway, in the 22nd chapter of 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a story of how Krishna's in the forest with the cowherd boys, and he's showing them, he's pointing out the beauty of the forest to the cowherd boys, and he's pointing out to the trees. The trees are full of fruits, and they're so full of fruits that they're actually bending down. And he points to Lord Balaram and said, they're bowing down to you because they know you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he glorifies the trees, that they're giving their fruits, they give their leaves, they give their bark, they're giving everything, they're giving parts of their bodies to people who want to, without any protest. And their trees are the real givers. Now, when we, again, reading that story, you think, oh, yeah, so nice. And then the next story taught is the beginning of the Govardhan Puja episode. It's the beginning part where the coward boys are in the forest and they've been there early in the day and they're a little hungry because they didn't have breakfast, etc. So Krishna recommends that they go to nearby where the Brahmins are performing a yajna and ask them if they can give some prasadam from the yajna. So when the coward boys, and he also says, and don't tell them, don't ask in my name, ask in Balaram's name. So anyway, they go and they see the Brahmins and they say, Krishna and Balaram are nearby and they're wanting to know if you can send some foodstuffs. And the Brahmins, who are, you know, advanced in spiritual culture and advanced in spiritual knowledge, don't even answer. They don't even answer. Quite opposite contrast to the giving trees in the previous chapter, which again, through Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comments, I could understand that. I couldn't, I just read one chapter, read the next chapter, and never put the connection between the two. Sorry, but anyway, that's why the explanation of the acharyas is essential for us. Srila Prabhupada's purports in the explanation, because how would we really understand the real import of the lessons that we need to learn? Anyway, so the Brahmins wouldn't even answer the coward boys, and they missed an opportunity, which later they regretted wholeheartedly. But still, because of attachment and fear of Kamsa, they still couldn't even go to Krishna and beg forgiveness, physically anyway. But anyway, in that 22nd chapter, there's a verse number 35. And this verse is also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Adi Lila, 9th chapter, text number 42. And I'm just going to chant it. Evatvaj janma shalpayam dehinam iha deheshu pranar artha diya vacha shreya archanam acharanam sada. It's the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. So that's very important instruction there, that it's our duty to do good to other people. So what's the highest good that we can do? So there's two types of general categories of activities. There's shreyas, the activities that are ultimately beneficial and auspicious, and then there's prayas, the immediate ones, the ones that give immediate benefit and auspiciousness. So shreyas are the long-term effects of activities that we do, and prayas is the present. I always put it like that, present. It's the immediate result we get. So in giving charity on days like today, again, it's a perspective, it's a change of attitude. It's not for our immediate benefit that we want those results, because even if we give some amount of money in charity today and get in return by Krishna's arrangement some sizable wealth, the wealth is going to come and go. That isn't eternal. But if we give in charity today and Krishna blesses us with pure devotional service, that, or if he gives us a blessing of, or if he gives us a blessing of a taste for chanting the holy name, or if he gives us a blessing of a taste for doing devotional service, that's going to really benefit us. So then I just have this little request or suggestion. So take some time in the next few minutes, because if you don't do it now, you possibly could forget. I know I would forget to do it, to think of a prayer that you can offer to Krishna now, because also this verse explained that giving in charity doesn't just mean monetarily. It doesn't just mean give money in charity. It means that we can do something good with our life, with our wealth, with our intelligence, or with our words. So we can pray to Krishna. We can pray to Krishna that our taste for devotional service will increase. Please give me the benefit that my taste, that I'll make a stronger endeavor in chanting my rounds to fix my mind on your lotus feet. That I'll start a new adventure in service. I'll start a new service today. I'll inquire from somebody what service I can do. or if, even if someone is a cook, already has a cooking propensity, right? Then maybe they can start a new, they can try a new recipe today. Something for the pleasure of Krishna like that. In other words, something that's not, if somebody doesn't have a very strong financial position, then they might hesitate. Oh, I don't know if I can get that money out of my PayPal account or whatever, Zelle, or if there's cash, who has cash these days? But anyway, you know, but let me pray for renewed enthusiasm in devotional service. Let me pray for the ability to say some nice encouraging words to other people who are starting or in different position in devotional service, so that they'll be encouraged to stick to the process and make more and more advancements, which will be for their eternal benefit, which will be for their real benefit, the benefit of the soul. Now, after Mangal Aarti, and also at the greeting of the deities at 8 o'clock, there was a whole list of things that one could possibly do. And that's also, and it's also very important. But the real benefit is if our service attitude, if our heart becomes more pure, if our endeavor becomes more sincere, that's our real eternal benefit that we'll get, that we can take advantage of from these kind of days. So, comments, questions, or clarifications, and corrections, please.
You mentioned the wives of the Brahmins.
What was that? The wives
of the Brahmins.
The wives of the Brahmins exhibited their superior bhakti intelligence, didn't they? Thank you. Yeah, the wives of those Brahmins who wouldn't even answer the boys when they came back from being disappointed and trying to get something from the Brahmins. Krishna said, don't worry. This time go and ask the wives. They're my devotees. And so they exhibited their bhakti intelligence. And immediately, as soon as they heard that Krishna was in the area, they thought, oh, let's go see him. Come on, let's gather everything up. They brought him so many things. Thank you for that reminder. Any other comments or questions? Or
if someone asks you that you have mentioned to give yourself the best in this process, Shreya, not prayer. So if I want to give my heart, but my heart is filled with so many things, so many desires, what is your suggestion?
If we want to give our heart, and our heart is filled with so many desires, the best person to give your heart to is Krishna, because he's the best cleaner. He's the heart cleaner. He's the heart cleaner. And he can take, because he'll see through the dirt and desires, the personal desires that are in our heart because of our association with material energy since practically time immemorial. Anadir, karma, pale, practically since time immemorial. He'll see beyond all that darkness, and he'll see the pure spirit soul, and he'll arrange, as he is arranging for all of us, for the cleansing process to take place. Now, just a little bit related to that is sometimes we have a tendency to think, I put my donation in the box 3 hours ago and nothing's happened yet. What's going on? It doesn't necessarily happen like that. And that I'm just putting it out there so that we'll be cleanse that misconception off. And also, Krishna, being the supremely intelligent one and knowing what is really in our best interest, we might think, if Krishna gives me lots of money, then I'll donate lots of money to book distribution or to the temple or to this or that. That's what we think. And, you know, with all good intentions, we might do something like that. But more probable is if the heart is still covered with material desires, if and when we get material opulence, there'll be, oh, I'll give that to Krishna and I'll take that for me, and I'll give that to Krishna, I'll have 4 for me and 1 to Krishna and 10 for me, and you know, like that. That happens a lot. And Krishna, he'll just smile and he'll say, okay, I'll figure out something else to work and cleanse your heart. So, you know, that's just another little thing. Other things? So then, if there is no further discussion and there's still a few minutes, I would suggest that I'm going to stop you know, I would suggest that you take a little extra few minutes here in the temple room and, you know, offer some heartfelt prayers for your purification, your personal purification, because as we become more purified, then that will have a ripple effect across the nation, across the world, across the, you know, spreading of Krishna consciousness, because we have that desire to spread it all over the world. Well, first we need to start with ourselves. Huh? That's my selfish perspective of things. First I need to start with myself. Or simultaneously, I need to start with myself and others. How's that better? Anyway, thank you very kindly for your attention and presence here today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Akshaya Tiri. Don't miss the opportunity. It only happens once a year. You'll have to wait a whole nother year, and who knows if we'll be here in another year, right? Especially. You can.
What's the difference? It's always some day, like some.
That's a good point.
Some poor day.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
And every day is special.
You're totally right. You're totally right. And that was right here, and I didn't read it or talk about it. So thank you very kindly, Krishna, had you say that, because it's totally true. Because if we look at how auspicious it is to do devotional service any day of the year, any time, in any circumstance, it's way more auspicious. You know what I mean? So we're adding a layer of auspiciousness there, and with the special benefit. And it might be something that you can do today, give a donation. It might be. And it might not be, but it, as you chant your rounds every day that you're doing, as you, you know, speak of Krishna every day, as you're doing, as you hear the Bhagavatam every day, that is also way adding to your auspicious life. So just, it's like more auspicious or auspicious, more auspicious, and most auspicious, you know? Engaging in devotional service is the most auspicious. So let's do that, too.
Like,
yeah.
Ekadashi.
Like Ekadashi.
A description for Ekadashi. This is most important Ekadashi in the year. And next one also is
yeah.
Important.
Yeah. Isn't Krishna...